Live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now in the studio is attorney Larry Nolan with the firm Nolan, Thompson & Vilas. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening.
I'm glad to have you in the studio. I'm on the phone so much, I always love it when you come in here. I thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.
Attorney General Bill Schuette's efforts to remove Lansing Judge Hugh Clark Jr. is going to go right to the Supreme Court. If we can take just a couple of minutes and do the backstory of the case of Hugh Clark Jr. and Attorney General.
Sure. Cheryl, you will recall that Governor Granholm was still the governor of the state until December 31st. At that time, the governor has a legally official position to be able to appoint judges to vacancies that are created within the court system. Judge Amy Krause had been appointed to the Court of Appeals, and she appointed Hugh Clark, an attorney here in Lansing, on December 20th to fill the unexpired term of Judge Amy Krause. And so that kind of started the ball in action. Judge Clark is still sitting on the bench. He's legally appointed judge. There's provision for holdover, and he has to run for election and will serve up until he's either reelected or till January 1st following the next general election. That's what the holdover provision says. So at the time that Bill Schuette was elected and took office on January 1st or 2nd as Attorney General, you know that we have a new governor. Governor Rick Snyder took office at the same time, January 1st, which begins his term. Bill Schuette brought a petition. It's actually classified as an extraordinary writ, but an action for quo warranto, which is to remove Judge Clark from the bench in argument that is based on a 1982 case. At least that's what Bill Schuette has filed the brief on. But it was a writ of quo warranto, which was a action that's actually filed in the Court of Appeals. It's not filed in the District Court or Circuit Court. It's a action that's filed in the original jurisdiction of the Court of Appeals. And so that action was pending, and we filed a number of pleadings in response to their action, as well as an answer, and filed a motion to have it heard immediately. About February 16th, the Court of Appeals agreed to take the matter, and the Court of Appeals gave the Attorney General 56 days to file its motions, with us responding, having 35 days to respond after that. So that kind of put it in perspective of what was happening at that time.
Now, as Hugh Clark's attorney, you made a request to take it right to the Supreme Court. And there were – am I correct?
That's correct.
There were a couple of different reasons for doing that.
We filed a motion for immediate consideration subsequent to our response to the Attorney General's pleadings in the Court of Appeals. We filed a motion for immediate consideration in the Supreme Court concurrently with that. We also filed an application on behalf of my client, Judge Clark, for leave to appeal, asking the Michigan Supreme Court to take the case and bypass what we actually refer to as a bypass of the Court of Appeals. The decision was to hear it and expedite it by the Court of Appeals on approximately February 16th. And interestingly, one of the judges, Judge Peter O'Connell, agreed to hear it, but said that it should be expedited faster than the normal filing of pleadings and responses, which is the 56 days for the Attorney General. We expected we might hear something, their response, immediately because we filed briefs. We did not. We filed this action in the Supreme Court. citing a couple of things. Number one, the significant difference between this and the basis upon which the Attorney General filed, that being the Dorothy Comstock Riley case involving the removal of a justice from the Michigan Supreme Court. And our differentiation set forth that ultimately the Supreme Court would have to deal with this or at least look at a petition. If we won, we would petition the Supreme Court, and I presume if the Attorney General, we would petition the Supreme Court. If the Attorney General won the motion in the Court of Appeals. So it wasn't going to end in the Court of Appeals.
So it was a way to expedite, just as it was said in one article I read, cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase.
Let's just move on. And this is an important decision because Judge Hugh Clark Jr. is sitting on the bench deciding cases, of course, and this needs to be resolved and put behind.
Cases of great magnitude.
Yes.
And he's doing it day in, day out, 8 to 5, passing on things such as criminal matters with preliminary exams involving felonies and binding over the circuit court. All of these things are being done as a sitting judge, a legally appointed sitting judge. And so I indicated before there's only one of three ways a vacancy can occur. One is by death, the other is by resignation, and the other would be by removal. And that resignation handed in by Judge Amy Krause, which created the vacancy, which gave the governor under the Constitution the right to appoint someone for the efficiency of justice to continue. And so we believe that in the Supreme Court, we received an order yesterday, March 9th, 2011, granting our motion for immediate consideration, granting our motion an application for leave to appeal prior to any decision by the Court of Appeals, and granting our motion to have the Supreme Court assume jurisdiction of this case.
And what is the next step in the Supreme Court? Is there a May date? Did I see that?
Well, the court order, in its order, ordered the and directed the clerk of the court to place this case on the May 2011 session calendar for argument and submission. So they have basically said that is when they want it heard. When the Supreme Court says that's when they want it heard, that's when it will be heard. So in my experience in the 35 years of practice is be there when they say to be there.
I would assume so. If they called, I would answer as well. Having a former attorney general, or excuse me, current attorney general Bill Schuette, having been on the appeals court, that wasn't really a part of that bypassing the appeals court, was it?
No, and again, that's quite interesting that you point that out, because not only Judge Schuette, but Judge Schuette's chief legal counsel, now Richard Banstra, Judge Banstra was the chief judge of the Court of Appeals, as well as Amy Krause is now sitting on the Court of Appeals. So there's the Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, might have recognized that might put some of Judge Banster's, Judge Schuette's, or Judge Krause and Krause's colleagues in a difficult position. Although, as judges, I think the intellectual honesty of the judges would have them come to a decision without that affecting them one way or the other. And so, I don't think that's a big decision. But I think that it's nice that the colleagues that are close, of course, to Judge Banstra, Judge Schuette, and Judge Krause are not in a position. And it's not a position that the Court of Appeals takes and then the Supreme Court has to reverse. So the Court of Appeals doesn't have to come to a decision now. And I think for a lot of reasons that's good, and the Supreme Court doesn't have to explain why they're trying to correct a situation that may have been adversely decided. We're really in uncharted legal waters in this regard. There's not a lot of quo warrantos that are brought to remove a judge. And in the time that I've practiced law since 1976, there may have been a couple, but that would be it. This is an interesting, unique case. We have a new attorney general, that being Attorney General Schuette. We have a new governor who would make the appointment, Governor Snyder's legal counsel, Mike Godola, is a very gifted lawyer, and I'm sure the governor will get sage legal counsel. We have a new Supreme Court. Three of the members are new on the Supreme Court.
We've got just about a minute left. Is this politics, do you think?
No, I would hope not. I would hope not, because although we do know that a number of the judges that are appointed are appointed based on political affiliations, but they're never appointed, Cheryl, without going through the State Bar of Michigan Judicial Qualifications Committee that I sat on for 3 years, and I can tell you how thorough that committee does its work in evaluating the recommendations to the governor. And not one of the recommendations would ever be appointed without it being well-qualified or extremely well-qualified to the governor.
Well, sir, I appreciate your time. We'll continue to follow this case. It's fascinating legally as well. So I appreciate your time coming in this evening.
Thank you for inviting me in, Cheryl.
Very good. We've been speaking with Larry Nolan, attorney with Nolan, Thompson & Vila. So we'll be right back with more Fritz and Friends after this.